We're continuing the story of Rabbi Nachman's life, and we're in the middle of the story of his trip to Eretz Yisrael. When Rabbi Nachman made it clear that he's leaving, when his wife heard about it, she sent one of their daughters to him to ask him, how could he leave them like this? It wasn't like today we're going to Israel from Russia was a trip that took a few hours. She knew that this was going to take months to get there, to be there, to come back. Who's going to support them while he's away? And Rabbeinu Zal responded as follows. He said to this daughter, you'll go to your in-laws, your sister, your older sister, someone will take her into their home to be a nursemaid. Your younger sister, someone will take her into their house out of pity, and your mother will be able to work as a cook. And everything we own, I'll sell towards expenses for the trip. When his family heard this, they started crying, and they cried for several days. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that Rabbeinu Zal did not consider this. He didn't have any pity on them. He said, there's no choice. This is something I must do, no matter what. I'm going to go. Because he said the majority of me is already there, is already in Eretz Yisrael, and that the little bit that's here has to follow the majority. And Rabbeinu Zal said, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. I know the incredible obstacles and blockages that I'm going to have for this. However, as long as I'm alive, as long as I have any energy at all, I'm prepared to be moiser nefesh, to put my life on the line in order to go to Eretz Yisrael. And so long as I'm alive, I'm going to go there. And whatever Hashem does, He does. The next paragraph, paragraph Zayin, Rabbeinu Zal said that with every single step that I took towards going to Eretz Yisrael, I had mesiras nefesh. I literally put my life in jeopardy and on the line in order to make this trip, in order to succeed on the trip. And he said, I want to leave immediately, right now, no matter what, even if I have no money at all to start the trip. He said, however, if anybody cares about me, they'll, and they want to have pity on me, they'll give me money towards expenses. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, immediately some of his students fanned out to the surrounding cities, and they collected some money so that at least he should have the money to leave his house, to hire a wagon to take him to his the first steps on the trip, because they saw the urgency that he felt about the trip, and they saw that there's no delaying him now, there's no slowing him down whatsoever. And sure enough, Rabbeinu Zal left his house in a hurry. On Chai Iyar, on the 18th day of Iyar, which is Lag BaOmer, which that year came out on a Friday. And Rabbeinu Zal left in a hurry. He spoke to one of his followers to accompany him. And Rav Nosson Zal says, nobody knows who that person was. Which one of his students at that time is the one that accompanied Rabbeinu Zal on his trip to Eretz Yisrael? Again, this is way before Rav Nosson Zal met Rabbi Nachman. He's writing all of this based on information that he heard from Rabbeinu Zal himself and other students who were around at the time. Paragraph Ches, on the 18th of Iyar, Lag BaOmer, Friday, Erev Shabbos, Rabbeinu Zal left his home where he was living at the time with his in-laws in the city of Medvedevka. And he left for the city of Nikolaev. Nikolaev was a port city near the Black Sea, where the Bug River feeds in that direction, east of Odessa. Rabbeinu Zal spent Shabbos in the city. This is not mentioned here in Shvuchei Oran, but in Chaim Oran we find some additional information and additional details about the trip. Rabbeinu Zal ended up spending Shabbos in the city of Skolya. And it was in that city, during that Shabbos that he spent in the city of Skolya, that one of the great tzaddikim, one of the students of the Baal Shem Tov, who had traveled to Eretz Yisrael earlier, Reb Menachem Mendel Mivitebsk, who's buried in Tveria, who passed away in Israel before this event, before this trip. On that Shabbos, Reb Menachem Mendel Mivitebsk came to Rabbeinu Zal in a vision, and he revealed to him a secret of a particular name of Hashem that serves as a protection when a person is traveling at sea. This appears in Likutei Moran in chapter 256. Rabbeinu Zal there says that there is a name of Hashem, the name Ato, Aleph Tov Hei, which in Hebrew means you, Ato. We say in Shmon Esrei, Ato Gibor Lo'ilam Hashem, you Hashem are very powerful, and that this name of Hashem could serve as a shmirah, protection, for a person who's traveling at sea, if a storm breaks out or something like that. In Likutei Moran, it does not go into more detail on this, but in the Sefer Chaya Moran, paragraph 136, there we find Rav Nosson Zal elaborates on this, and he tells us that there's a pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 89. Again, this piece is mentioned in Likutei Moran also, where the pasuk says, "Besoy galov," when the ocean lifts up its waves, "Ato teshabchein," you Hashem smooth them over, you calm them down. And Rav Nosson Zal says that there's a whole story about this that I heard in Rabbeinu Zal's name, but I don't remember it. In order to find out more details about this, we need to check by the Breslovers who heard this from Reb Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, who was one of Rabbi Nachman's earliest students. He became a student of Rabbeinu Zal at Rabbeinu Zal's wedding. When Rabbeinu Zal was 13 years old, they made their connection. And this is what Reb Nosson Zal writes. Now, Reb Nachman Chirin, who was a student of Reb Nosson Zal, one of his close students, writes that I heard from one of the people who spoke to Reb Shimon what the explanation is, exactly how this name of Hashem is to be applied in a case of emergency, when a person is crossing the sea and there's a storm and they need to calm the storm. And he said what a person has to do is, we know that in the 13 attributes of kindness of Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'chanun, Erech, Apayim, V'rav Chesed, the sixth one of those 13 attributes is the two words Verav Chesed. That's attribute number 6 of the 13 attributes of kindness. The words Verav Chesed are Bigimatria 280. And Reb Shimon explained that what Rabbeinu Zal was referring to is that a person has to write the words Verav Chesed on 5 pieces of paper or 5 pieces of parchment. 5 times Verav Chesed. Verav Chesed is 280. 5 times 280 is 1,400. That's the Aleph and the Tav of the word Ato. Aleph is 1, and Aleph in Hebrew is 1,000. So Aleph Tav is 1,400. And the letter He stands for the 5 pieces of paper. He is 5. The 5 pieces of paper or parchment. And when a storm breaks out, the person throws those 5 pieces of parchment into the sea, and that will calm the storm. That could terminate this powerful storm. And Reb Shimon Zal said, that he had occasion to use this, and it helped tremendously. And when Reb Shimon Zal was traveling to Eretz Yisrael for the second time, he made 2 trips to Eretz Yisrael. This Reb Shimon, the student of Rabbi Nachman, ended up remaining in Eretz Yisrael, I believe after his second trip. He lived in Tzfas, and he passed away in Tzfas, and is buried there pretty close to where the Arizal is buried. So this Reb Shimon Zal, before he left Ukraine for his second trip to Eretz Yisrael, he had a sefer prepare for him, 5 small pieces of parchment with these words Verav Chesed written, like one would write it in a Sefer Torah, and he took it with him as a protection should he need to use this when he was at sea. We're continuing the shiur in Shvuchei Oran, the story of Rabbeinu Zal's trip to Eretz Yisrael. In paragraph Ches, Rav Nosson Zal mentions that when Rabbeinu Zal left his home in Medvedevka, going towards Nikolaev, there he found a ship that was transporting grain. And he took that ship as far as Odessa. And from Odessa, the plan was to get on a boat and go to Istanbul, which would be a major step towards Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nosson Zal points out that at that time, the Mishulachim, those people who would travel from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Loretz and back, no one traveled the way that Rabbeinu Zal did. They were all afraid to travel via Odessa because there were rumors that it was very dangerous. Rabbeinu Zal had that information, analyzed the situation, and he realized that it was better to take a boat from Odessa to Eretz Yisrael in the direct to Istanbul than any other route that people were taking. Number one, it was a shorter route and also safer, because the way that they went was through a place called Galatz, which is called also Galati, which is now part of Romania. And Rabbeinu Zal understood that it's more dangerous, the way that they're going is more dangerous than going via Odessa. An additional reason was that sailing from the Danube River, which they used from that part of the Ukraine, to go into the Black Sea, also there was tremendous danger in the route that the others were taking. So Rabbeinu Zal ignored the rumors about the danger of going via Odessa, and he went through Odessa. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, from that point on, people started going the way that Rabbeinu Zal went. That those that were traveling from Ukraine to Eretz Yisrael and back went through, specifically through Odessa. He was a trailblazer, in a sense, showing many times certain things that people were mistaken about. And Rabbeinu Zal showed clearly, you know, what wasn't necessarily the accepted route was the best one. Just for a moment, to go off to something that we didn't mention before regarding Rabbeinu Zal's trip before he set out on the trip, one of Rabbeinu Zal's great students, his name was Rabbi Yudel Zal. This student was a tremendous Talmud Chacham in Nigla and in Nistor, in the hidden part of the Torah in Kabbalah, before he came to Rabbeinu Zal. And there's an incredible story about how he actually came to Rabbeinu Zal and became a close student of Rabbeinu Zal's. In terms of his knowledge of Kabbalah, there was an incident once where he told one of his students, Shabbos was over, and this Rabbi Yudel Zal told one of his students, we're going to go make Havdalah somewhere else. And they left the house with the candle, with the wine, everything. They walked out of the city into the cemetery, and Rabbi Yudel Zal looked, he stopped at a particular grave, and there he started reciting Havdalah. The student that was with him said that he heard that when Rabbi Yudel Zal said the bracha, he heard from the grave the answer Amen, a response of Amen. Rabbi Yudel Zal was on such a madrega, you know, to be able to connect with souls that had passed away, etc. And this Rabbi Yudel Zal, before Rabbeinu Zal embarked on his trip to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yudel said, obviously you want to accomplish something very, very great through your going in Eretz Yisrael. May it be the will of Hashem, may Hashem help you to accomplish what you want. And Rabbeinu Zal nodded that you're right, that's exactly why I'm going. Afterwards, Rabbeinu Zal said to Rabbi Yudel, you should know that if I would really want, I could accomplish everything I'm going to accomplish in Eretz Yisrael. I could accomplish it here through tefillah, through tremendous, intense tefillah, bakoshos, tachnunim, all types of tefillah, and I wouldn't have to travel to Eretz Yisrael. However, the difference between if I were to receive it here or to actually make the trip to Eretz Yisrael, the difference is that here in Chutz Loretz, I would not be able to receive this great deep knowledge of Hashem, recognition of Hashem, with garments. I would not be able to receive it with garments, but rather only without garments, without levushim. Whereas by going to Eretz Yisrael, by making the trip and all the self-sacrifice and all the danger, everything that's involved in that, there I'll be able to receive this new, very high-level light with levushim, with garments. And this is the difference between the holiness of Shabbos and the holiness of the weekdays. Reb Yudel, upon hearing this, opened up the Siddur of the Arizal, a Siddur that has all the commentary of the Arizal in it, and showed Rabbeinu Zal in the Siddur there, where the Arizal points out the difference between Shabbos and Yontif. That on Shabbos, we receive a very high level of light with garments, whereas on Yontif, we receive the light without garments. nothing is coincidence. Yesterday, we were learning Likutei Halacha is Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchus Orev, Halacha Gimel. And there, Rav Nosson Zal touches on this topic. He speaks about the concept of garments. He's speaking there about Kinyan Sudar, about a certain way of making a Kinyan in a transaction, which is done using a garment, by holding on to the corner of a garment. And there, Rav Nosson Zal touches on this point, explaining that there are certain very, very high levels of understanding of Hashem, which we cannot achieve completely. A person can't grasp it completely. The only way we connect with that high level of light of Hashem is, he compares it to a person jumping up to reach up to something that's a little bit out of their reach. And if the person really jumps as far as they can touch it. They can touch that thing, a pole, a string, whatever it is, but they can't grab onto it to the extent that they can actually get a hold of it. In Kabbalistic terms, this is called moti veloy moti, reaching and not reaching, achieving and not achieving. And Rav Nosson Zal there writes that this is the concept, this high level of light is something that requires levushim to be able to achieve. It requires garments. And the garments for this light are made. Every single mitzvah that a person does on earth, every mitzvah, every good deed, the Torah that we learn, generates these garments, which are used to clothe the light in a certain way and to make it accessible to us to the degree that we can access it. Obviously, these are very deep concepts. It's discussed in the writings of the Arizal, and Rabbeinu Zal touches on it a little bit. Rav Nosson Zal mentions it in several places in Likutei Halachos. But here, Rabbeinu Zal was aware of all of this. Rabbeinu Zal knew that he could save himself this trip, and he would achieve something very high, significant through tefillah. But he understood that if he wanted to achieve it on a still higher level, Rav Nosson Zal writes there, that with the levushim, with the garments, it's a much higher level of achievement than without the garments. And this is one of the things that got Rabbeinu Zal to undertake this life-threatening journey at the time, in order to be able to achieve that high level hasaga. In the end, we see that when Rabbeinu Zal got to Eretz Yisrael, he took four steps, and the boat finally landed in the port city of Eretz Yisrael. He took four steps, and he told the person with him, "I'm ready to go back. I've accomplished everything I came for. Everything that I needed to achieve, the level of hasogas, everything, all was accomplished by taking these four steps." We know that the Gemara, at the end of Ksubos, the Gemara makes a statement that a Jew who takes four steps in Eretz Yisrael is guaranteed Olam Haba. Meaning again, that it's a life changer. People think, people don't realize how special it is, what an incredible schus it is to come to Eretz Yisrael, to spend time in Eretz Yisrael, even if a person comes for a few hours, for a few days. And certainly those that are privileged to be living in Eretz Yisrael, the Yetzirah tries very, very hard to get us to forget where we are, what we're doing, how significant each step in Eretz Yisrael is, how significant breathing the air of Eretz Yisrael is, how significant, the Gemara says, Ein Torah ketoras Eretz Yisrael. There's no Torah in the world on the level of the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. And by studying this trip from Rabbeinu Zal, we get some ideas how a tzaddik like this, who killed himself for Hashem in tefillah. The Zohar HaKadosh quotes the pasuk, Ki olecho hoiragnu kol hayoim. Hashem, we kill ourselves for you all day. The Zohar HaKadosh says, when do we kill ourselves for Hashem? In tefillah. There's a pasuk, Nafshi yotzo bedabroi. My soul comes out. My innermost fear, my inner heart comes out. I spill my guts out when I'm davening. If a person is davening properly, ula'ovdoi b'chol levavchem, where they put their whole heart into it, etc. And we know that when we hear about what Rabbeinu Zal did in tefillah, the level that he went, and still, when he realized that by going to Eretz Yisrael, he'd get something more, something better than what he could achieve even through maximum tefillah in Chutz Loretz, he was never willing to settle for less in Ruchnius. There's a famous quote from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, where the Baal Shem Tov says, we say in the second paragraph of Oleinu, V'yodato hayoim v'hashevoi selavovecho, you will realize today, and you will communicate to your heart, Ki Hashem hu hu elokim, that Hashem is everything, that Hashem is master of everything. Bashamayim imal, in heaven above, val haoretz mitochas, and on earth below, einoi, there's nothing other than Hashem. So the Baal Shem Tov once said, Bashamayim, when it comes to heavenliness, mimal, always look above you. If there's somebody has more than you, if there's an opportunity to go for more, go for it. Go all the way. Never settle. When it comes to ruchnius, keep trying to climb to go higher and higher. No matter what successes you achieve, no matter what levels you get to, there's more. There is more. Hashem is infinite. The Torah is infinite. So keep going. Val haaretz, when it comes to earthliness, when it comes to materialism, when it comes to gashmius, mitochas, always look below you. That if there's somebody that has less than me, if there's any person that has less than me, then number one, I'm lucky, I'm fortunate, because I have more than that person, number one. And number two, to be looking to minimize as much as possible within reason, to know that just like when a person is traveling, those that are seasoned travelers know that a good traveler is a traveler who can travel light, who knows what the minimum that they need of things that are important. Whatever they do need, whatever they have to have with them on the trip, they want to make sure they have it. They want to make sure they don't forget anything important, because sometimes you come to a place where a small little thing that you need and it's not available, and it makes your life more difficult. And at the same time, to add any excesses, to take along things that are unnecessary and to schlep it around and be careful not to lose it, all the different things, person has to be wary. So here the Baal Shem Tov gave us this advice, Bashamayim imal val oretz mitochas, in ruchnius go for the maximum. And this is the example that Rabbeinu Zal set for us. We see how far he was willing to go for an opportunity. He said, I can get the same light here as there, only there it's with levush, here it's without levush, and I'm going. I'm going mesiras nefesh to get that additional portion. Another item that I think we didn't mention earlier, which I don't want to leave out, before Rabbeinu Zal got on the boat in Odessa, he left on Erev Pesach, he left his home on Lag BaOmer, and he spent a Shabbos in a city of Kersin along the way, and he ended up, Lag BaOmer is 17 days, 2 weeks before Shavuos. Rabbeinu Zal ended up spending Shavuos also before getting on the boat to actually go out to sea. During that Shavuos, he said Torah, he learned and everything, and then, as is the custom, he went to the mikveh. Between midnight and the early hours and dawn of the morning, the special mikveh of Shavuos. On the way to the mikveh, he had his attendant who was with him, the person accompanying him on the trip, and Rabbeinu Zal said to him, did you hear that? And the student asked, hear what? And Rabbeinu Zal didn't comment, and they walked further, they kept walking further, and Rabbeinu Zal looked at him, do you hear? And he didn't know what. And Rabbeinu Zal said, maybe it's some kind of a performance or something that's going on, a circus, who knows, some kind of a circus that's playing. And the student said that there's no circuses, there's nothing in the area whatsoever, nothing in the vicinity. And the student told Rabbeinu Zal writes that he heard afterwards that it was obvious that Rabbeinu Zal was hearing the sounds of Matan Torah, the koilois of Matan Torah. We know that the Sifrei Chassidus tell us that every year when a holiday comes around, the holiday of Pesach, the holiday of Shavuos, those miracles that took place on that holiday thousands of years ago are repeated. Those that have the proper emunah and that are closely attached to Hashem can feel, can experience those miracles, those sounds and everything. Rabbeinu Zal was zeicher that at that time, and again, this is before Eretz Yisrael, before the trip, which he said changed his life completely, took him to brand new levels. Before the trip, he was zeicher on the night of Shavuos to be able to be hearing the koilos of Matan Torah.